Biofuels. Some say they're the answer to our fuel needs, reducing both our CO2 emissions and our dependence on foreign oil. Others say they're a bad idea, as they take land away from food production and don't produce the CO2 savings we need. Professor Sir David King was the chief scientific advisor to the government and is now at the Smith School of Enterprise and the Environment at Oxford University. He believes that the issue of biofuels is far from black and white. Some biofuels are good and some are very bad.
Let's just take the examples that I consider to be very bad. You take a food crop product such as grain and you can convert it to biofuels. It's not that easy, and so it's quite an energy-intensive process. So the result is that for each gallon of fuel you produce, the carbon footprint is actually not very different from petrol. It's about 80% of that of petrol. So it is smaller, but the gain compared with petrol is not worth the problems created. And the problems I'm referring to are shortage of food and the use of fresh water. Now, is that real? Well, economics tell you that that is real, because the American policy of effectively subsidizing farmers to produce biofuel from grain has meant that the price of grain internationally has gone up. That's a massive problem. If you consider 6.8 billion people on the planet, it's estimated that roughly 1 billion of those people, prior to the increase in food prices, 1 billion of those people are not getting nearly enough food to survive properly. In other words, their lives have been massively shortened through lack of food. The next billion are surviving, but only just. Now, if you increase food prices, quite simply, it's those bottom two groups that suffer the most. So in other words, we go from potentially 1 billion at risk of losing their lives through lack of food and malnutrition to nearly 2 billion. Now, the second form of biofuels that is really not good is converting crop products that produce oil, rapeseed, for example, because, again, we are using land that can be used for food production, for energy production. So the European policy, where there's a directive saying X percent of the fuel has to be from biofuels, again, is running in a counter direction to managing the world's food production. And at the same time, it's not helping substantially on lowering carbon footprint from cars. There is one good biofuel at the moment, even though it is using a food crop, and that is sugarcane to biofuel, which is basically the Brazilian process. So if you pull into a petrol station in Rio de Janeiro, you can choose to use either petrol or biofuel alcohol, and you will buy whichever is cheaper, because the Brazilians have put a device into cars which enables them to just automatically use whatever fuel you put in, whether it's 100% alcohol, 100% petrol, or anything in between. Brazil, therefore, became less dependent on oil imports, keeping global oil prices down. The carbon footprint of the sugarcane is probably 10% of that of petrol, so it's a substantial reduction in carbon dioxide. And at the same time, you are potentially creating food production problems. So there is this major downside remaining. All of the sugar that is produced in Brazil can also be switched to alcohol production. And so what the Brazilians do is just follow the market. If the price of sugar goes up because of shortages in sugar, they produce more sugar. And if the price of alcohol goes up, then they'll produce more alcohol. So they are being business savvy. And at the same time, I'm not critical of that process. The land that is used for growing sugarcane is not deforested land. However, we now come to the land that is deforested, and that's where palm oil trees are grown. So palm trees for oil are grown in deforested regions, a major problem in Malaysia. So we just bear in mind, 1/5 of the carbon dioxide rise is due to deforestation annually. And most of this in Malaysia is to put up palm oil trees, which generates a large income. And we're converting palm oil into foodstuffs, but also into energy sources. So these are real cautions around the future use of biofuels. On the other hand, there are several processes in train for producing biofuels which would be completely environmentally clean. Right, so if we take a food crop product, such as grain, we can take the stalk and the leaves and process that, remove the phosphates and the nitrates, which we can put back in the soil as fertilizer, and then convert the cellulose in the leaves and stalks into fuel. There's a process that is being investigated quite extensively in research laboratories around the world. And I do believe that on a 5 to 10 year timescale, we are going to see the second generation biofuels coming into the market. There is a problem, by the way. You will need to have a marker so that we know that it's a positive source of biofuel rather than a negative source in an environmental sense. There's another point to bear in mind. Take a country like Rwanda, landlocked country, developing its economy rapidly, really needs to develop mobility using transport vehicles, doesn't want to import oil, massive agricultural productivity. As a byproduct of their agricultural productivity, they can produce fuels. So in each of these large agricultural areas, I can see in 10 years' time that they will be processing leafy material and producing the petrol and the kerosene that they need for transport from within the country. That's a sustainable way forward.
That's Professor Sir David King.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.